I want to share with you on deliverance from rejection and its fear. And I guess this is really real to me because I lived it. You know, it was my inheritance, you know, through the blood. Not a good inheritance, very tormenting inheritance. And, you know, we really can't do anything about what we've inherited through the blood. But we can do something about it after we come to the Lord and after we know the gospel and if we will believe the solution that he gives us. And I know a lot of people desire earnestly this solution. They're tormented by these things, and the solution is simple. It's the same one that's been there all along. I just want to share it with you. And people are getting deliverance from this constantly. And recently I wrote up an article. And just in the last couple of days, I wrote this article up. And I think it's going to deliver some people. And I think you're going to see the importance of this as I share with you about it. So I just want to tell you that God loves any of you that are laboring under this rejection spirit. And he has a plan to set you free. Many millions of people are so wounded inside that they don't even want to examine the real cause of their pain. It's kind of like, you know, when Moses was sent into Egypt and they ramped up the problems because Moses was speaking to Pharaoh and they said, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. In other words, they would rather go through their bondage than go through face the pain that it was going to take to get deliverance. Well, folks, you don't have any choice. You've got to have deliverance if you want to grow up in God and come into the maturity of Jesus Christ. And the pain you're going through, of course, those demons that are doing it don't want you to come against them. This is kind of a self-preservation tactic of the demons who keep them in bondage and who kept me in bondage. And I have a right to talk on this because I've been there. You know, I was under this bondage, you know, when I was young. Christians, you ought to know, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. You know, the demons try to make you think that this is you, that these thoughts are your thoughts. And they're not. You know, if you're laboring under rejection or fear of rejection, those are not your thoughts. That's a demon speaking. And he's tormenting you. Okay? The demons have deceived you into thinking that men are your enemies. So you'll leave them alone and be as submissive a host as possible so that they can use you to divide and conquer. You know, that's their tactic. Their plan is to break up families and fellowships so that they can pick off the lambs one by one, divide and conquer. That's what they do best. They cause a lot of misery in families, break up many families, and that's why we need to know the gospel. You know, when I speak on this subject, I know that these spirits will speak to their hosts and say things like, well, he's talking about you again, and they will feel the pain of it, you know, when these demons speak to them like that. But we have to get to the real problem and the real solution. So if you'll just bear with me for a few minutes and maybe a little pain, and those of you who believe will be totally set free. I'm just telling you in the name of Jesus, it's the word of God. You'll be totally set free. So listen carefully. If you don't have this problem, you know someone that does. It's just that prevalent. You probably have somebody in your family that has this problem. And it's not necessary. Like any other problem, there is deliverance. But there are Christians who go through their whole life and don't get delivered of this and don't ever grow up in God. And they're divided away from their brethren, their families, and they divide too. And they're used as a vessel of dishonor because they're a host for these demons. Okay. Those of you that do not believe the gospel, you will end up destroying and being destroyed. There's no way out of it. You're a porcupine Christian. You know what a porcupine Christian is? You're wounded, and you would wound everybody who gets close to you. When someone deals with you, they have to be so careful or they will get stabbed, you know. And when someone tries to help you, it's like a man who finds a spiny cocklebur. That's what we call them down south. Cocklebur, I think, is what most people call them, but cocklebur is what we call them down south. You know what they are, right? It's like somebody that finds one of these on their socks, and they reach down to pull it off, and it sticks in their hand, and they're painful too. And then he quickly tries to grab it with his other hand to get it out of his hand, and it's stuck in his other hand, you know? Well, that's what a cucklebur does, and that's what they're like, and that's what it is to deal with somebody that has this problem, you know? They'll stick you, you know? And they don't care that you're trying to help them. They'll just stick you. I'd like to share with you from my own painful experience with these demons and about God's solution. You know, my own dad inherited a spirit of rejection from his dad. And he passed it on to me by association and by the blood. I loved my dad, but to my mind, I just couldn't please him. It was because of these spirits that I'd inherited that made me feel this way. I just couldn't please him because he couldn't show any love or favor to me for fear of rejection. Fear of rejection is a companion spirit to the rejection spirit. And so he inherited this pain and lived with it all of his life. His dad did the same thing. My dad was a kind of a stern disciplinarian. But he couldn't show any love with it. So I grew up with feelings of rejection, again, by association and because I'd inherited this through the blood. And this is very painful, you know, emotionally painful, not physically, but emotionally painful. This spirit brings feelings of being unloved, unwanted, disliked, looked down on, incapable. Loneliness, even in the midst of a crowd, you can feel that way. It reminds you of the verse in Proverbs 18 and 14, which says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit, who can bear?" Well, I was tormented with recurring thoughts from this spirit. Of course, the spirit has you to believe that this is your thoughts. Now, so I was tormented with these recurring thoughts that I was rejected because of what my dad or some other person said or did to make light of me or to criticize or to correct me. Correction is necessary for growth. It's always seen and felt as painful rejection by one who has the spirit, though. They always read correction as rejection, and it feels painful to them. I'm just telling you, if you haven't experienced it, this is what happens. And when you try to correct these people, you'll know that it's painful to them. They won't want to hear it. They'll turn away from it. This is a terrible trap because being angry at correction ultimately makes one a fool. You don't have any choice. You have to be delivered of this, and Jesus has already done it for you. Yes, it might take a little pain, but you still have to be delivered of it. And believe me, if you take the right steps, you'll be delivered of it. You'll be free. You know, this spirit blows minor correction or criticism all out of proportion to actuality. He lies. He is constantly bringing these thoughts to your memory, these painful thoughts to your memory of some rejection or some correction or whatever. I've seen people that literally shake their heads when these painful thoughts come upon them. They just can't emotionally deal with it. And so they do whatever they can to appease this thing. They don't have any hope of deliverance, which I want to give you today. But and so they attempt to appease these thoughts, you know, and put them out of their head. These demons will not let them put them out of their head. That's the problem. You know, this constant pain programs the host into a deadly spiral of other spirits of unforgiveness and frustration and hopelessness and depression and anger and sometimes even retaliation, or it can go the other way to suicide. I never had any suicide problems, but I got down to the depression and anger usually. Rarely did I do any retaliation, but a lot of people do. Okay. So, you know, the rejection is the doorkeeper spirit, and it opens the doors for these other things. You know, you fall into one sin. You never fall into just one sin, right? You just keep on going, you know. So this is all unloaded on the person they feel is the culprit, because the spirits make them feel that the problem is never, never them. Have you ever seen that in a person? They never accept responsibility for the problem. It's you. It's your fault, no matter what. And, of course, everyone else knows it's them, but they refuse any blame because of the fear of more rejection. They refuse the blame, okay? And they don't want to go there. They don't want to feel that pain, so they are manipulated into this way of dealing with it. It's a way of denial. This is also another self-defense mechanism of the demons in them. When this perceived offense, I call it a perceived offense because usually from people from the outside, they don't see any offense. So when this perceived offense is unloaded on the perceived culprit, they're at a loss for words, wondering what just happened and what is wrong with this person. Little do they know, it's a coven of evil spirits warring through this host to bring division and to cause them much pain. And I feel greatly for people that have this problem. I mean, because I've been there. So I want to help them. And there's no choice but to try to help them. Okay? And the host is equally dismayed, wondering why this culprit doesn't understand they have offended him or her. And so two people are totally divided as the demons laugh at them. If a son feels rejected by his father, for instance, the demons can pull a kind of a switcheroo. The son will equate a father figure later in life with the rejection of his father and unload on him. And of course, a person won't know what's going on, that down in his psyche he is seeing this person as his father and relating to this person as his father because he may be a father figure. And of course, the father figure will wonder, what in the world just happened? Haven't got the foggiest idea what happened. A daughter may feel rejected by her father and equates him with her husband many years later and unloads on him and can't have a relationship with her husband because of this. And he wonders, what just hit my family? He has no idea. You know, he don't know what he's dealing with. He's dealing with demons. It's a vicious demonic cycle that never stops until families and churches have been destroyed and ultimately the host too. It never stops unless you accept God's provision and do what he tells you to do. Okay. You say, how can I obey when I'm being ruled by these spirits? Well, the things I'm going to tell you, you can do. You can do. Okay, so be patient with me. You know, as a young man, I didn't realize I was trying to ease the pain of rejection with alcohol and drugs. My dad was just like me. He tried to ease the pain with alcohol for a short time. And after I became a Christian, I commanded this spirit of alcoholism out of him, and it left him immediately. And, of course, he didn't know anything about deliverance, but he knew what being drunk was, and he knew that when he got drunk, sometimes he cried. He was in pain, you know. And I was so glad. As a baby Christian, I commanded those spirits to come out of him, or at least the alcohol to come out of him, and it did. And he was thankful to God that he even cared enough about him to do this. Because many people with rejection, they see God like they saw their father. They don't know that our God is a good father, you know, and he is a loving father. And he is not rejecting them. He wants to reveal to them his provision. Many people with drug, alcohol, sex, etc. problems need to be delivered of unforgiveness and rejection so that they can get and stay delivered of these crutches or these false comforts that they use to cover up their problem. You can deal with the problem, or you can deal with the source. If you don't deal with the source, it will come back. You know, having my dad's fear of rejection made me close to everybody I didn't need to be close to, and separated me from everybody I needed to be close to. And it caused me to close everybody out of my life for fear of being hurt. So I had no real social relationship to people who were not like me. I built a spiritual wall around me for fear that if I let myself be known or love outwardly, I would be rejected. I became frustrated and angry with anyone's questions about my personal life, and people tried to help me. I felt, though, that they wouldn't like the real person if they got to see him. And so most people who have rejection are hiding behind a mask, you know. I always desired and sought my dad's acceptance, but I never felt I really had it. So now I felt rejection and fear of rejection and frustration and sometimes anger about people who were actually much more normal than I. And sometimes they just wanted to help me, you know. You know, in my mind, I turned their attempts to find out my problems and help into attacks against me. You know, these demons had me in a sullen, standoffish trap that I would have died in had not the Lord come and set me free and showed me the lies. You know, I learned of the sovereignty of God, and I learned to pity and to forgive others as I wanted to be forgiven. I learned it was also I who was deceived and not they. This delivered me from the wall that I had built around me with the demon's help. When I had these spirits, they made it painful for me to be around good people who could help, and they lied to me about them. They made me comfortable to be around people who had the same spirits that I did, so I would never get deliverance through association and transference of demons with them. You understand what I'm saying? Persons with rejection like to hang out with people with rejections and problems because they don't see them as greater than they are in many cases, you know, which is painful because they feel rejection and unloved and unrespected and so on. You know, when I raised my own children, some of whom also inherited rejection through the blood, I didn't like to bring them around my father because I saw that these spirits strengthened in them when they associated with these spirits in him. There was a transference of spirits through association. But when they would get away from him, this would begin immediately to subside. But I would recognize it. So I raised my children as Christians, but when they got out of on their own, some of them went their own way and became cold towards the Lord and began to manifest these same spirits. You know, the Lord is the only one that can really break the genetic curse that's passed on from generation to generation. You know, the sins of the parents are passed on to the children under the third and fourth generation. So when my children, you know, like a lot of children do, they're raised as Christians all their life and raised under the Bible all their life. When they get out there, sometimes they want to try their wings. Well, I tell you what, when you do that, your inheritance, your physical, fleshly inheritance is going to catch up to you. And in this case, it was rejection and fear of rejection, etc. And of course, my kids were inheriting this from actually both sides of the family, because Mary's side of the family had some people in it too that had this rejection, you know. And nobody could figure them out. Nobody could help them, you know. And I, of course, told my children that if you forgive, you can be delivered. And I know that they soon will be. You know, there's one reason why we're delivered over to pain. It is to cause us to seek the salvation of the Lord. Some people think living in the world is all kinds of rosy, you know, but you find out that the curse that you've inherited is very painful, and it should be. You know, it's like going to jail. You're not supposed to enjoy it in jail. I don't think they know that, but you're not supposed to enjoy jail. You're supposed to be miserable there so that you want to get out of there. You want to do right. You want to walk straight so you never go back there, right? Well, I don't think the jail system sometimes understands that. You know, the Lord has shown me that many of the ministers who have attacked me or our ministry have done so because they were infected with these spirits and are seeking a place that God hasn't given to them. And although not ordained by the Lord, they seek to be in the ministry for selfish and many times egotistical desires. It's easy to do nowadays because on the internet, anyone can share knowledge and they can gain it from others very easily. And before you know it, they've claimed some kind of title and no one knows where they came from. So it's easy for a lot of people now to be a part of the church and be a so-called minister when they haven't been given that position. Either, in some cases, not even by Babylon, and definitely not by the Lord. So these men don't just teach against bad doctrines and principles. They teach against individuals, and they do it by name a lot, which is very seldom done in the New Testament. This was never done by Jesus, and once by Paul and once by John. In these few cases, these men were causing great destruction to the local body because of their own ego and rebellion against the Lord. So, but a person who has rejection, they love to point out people and fight against people, not principles and not false doctrines and things like that. They love to fight against people. They not only feel rejected, they reject. That's another part of the spirit, you see. So the reasons these self-ordained, or you may say some cases Babylon-ordained preachers pick out certain men to rail at is because in a perverse way this soothes their own ego that they are better than someone else. And they do this for a reason. You know, what is that reason? Well, those who have rejection spirits many times desire and seek what they don't feel that they're getting from others, which is acceptance, esteem, respect, sometimes even worship. They desire these things. Because of this rejection, they want just the opposite, right? But this leads to a lot of idolatry, And it leads them to submit to things to the world so that the world won't reject them. That's a terrible trap. In other words, you want to be a person pleaser so they won't reject you, right? That's a terrible trap. And it's a deception because many times these people aren't who they perceive themselves to be or want you to believe that they are. If they don't feel that they get this respect from you because of what you teach or because you convict them of their wicked lifestyle, they will attack and belittle you in order to make them feel better about themselves and to make sure that their followers won't listen to you, right? So they want to be divisive. They want to make sure that they are sectarian in their spirit and they separate their followers from anybody else out there who is a threat to them. This is, of course, a perverse way to gain esteem in their own eyes and in the eyes of others who are like them. Because birds of a feather flock together. You know, people that don't have enough discernment to see through what's going on here are usually people that are in the same kind of a trap. Well, Micah 3 and 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and whoso putteth not into their mouths," or in other words, feed their egos or their wallets, "they prepare war against him. Therefore, it shall be night unto you that you shall have no vision, and it shall be dark unto you that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them." So there's no good promise to those who are used by these spirits to bring division to the church and are not forgiving towards others and do not obey Romans 14 about not judging a brother according to your doctrine, but let him instead grow in his doctrine till he learns better. And even pray for him to grow and to learn better. But some people are quick to judge, and of course they're getting judged as they judge. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Well, the Lord moved me to write an article on this when I was realizing how big this rejection problem is among Christians. And at that same time, which was just the other day, I was put in contact with a young man who was a drug addict and wanted deliverance. It was ruining his relationship to everyone, including his wife. And as I spoke to him, I felt that the drugs weren't the foundational problem. You always want to go to the foundation, right? You don't build a house from the roof down. You do it from the foundation up, right? So I felt like the drugs just weren't the real problem. And I asked him what kind of mental pain was he seeking relief from in these drugs. And he wasn't sure. And his first answers were of unsurety, you know. And I asked him if he was not forgiving someone, you know. And I asked him if he felt overcorrected or underloved, you know, because of my own experience, these things came to mind. And he said that would be his dad, who had recently died. He said his dad was constantly correcting him, and he just really couldn't take it. His dad was at one time an alcoholic. And I told him that his dad had passed on a spirit of rejection to him through constant correction and without the ability to show love. And, of course, it's through the bloodline, too, you know. So, well, he basically said that I'd hit the nail on the head, although it wasn't me, it was the Lord, right? I told him he was trying to cover up or get relief from the mental pain of a rejection spirit with these drugs. And I told him he should forgive and pity his dad because he was in bondage to rejection too and didn't know how to be free. And he was using the alcohol to relieve the pain. You know, you can't judge people like that, can you? Once you realize the pain they're going through, the trouble that they're going through, it's hard to judge them. And I asked him to pray a prayer of forgiveness for his dad and for his granddad, whom he said he felt unforgiveness because he left him alone through his death. Okay? And when he did this, when he prayed for his dad and his granddad, I commanded the rejection and the fear of rejection to leave him in Jesus' name, which they did. He had labored under their bondage for some years. He had been delivered over to the tormentors because of unforgiveness, as Jesus said would happen. And after this, we were able to command the spirits of addiction to leave him, and they did. We talked again and the next day, and he was feeling relieved and had come off the drugs and is eagerly seeking to be a disciple of Jesus and to fellowship with the brethren. His mom told me that she hasn't seen this person around for a long time. Praise the Lord. You know? Yeah, it does. These spirits turn you into another person. You know, somebody that is really hard to deal with. You know? And as a young man, I never forgave from the heart and therefore rejected others in return. I was delivered over to the tormentors, as Jesus said in Matthew 18. In verse 32, he said, "Then his Lord called him unto him and said unto him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me." He's talking about the debt of sins against the Lord, right? "Because you besought me. Shouldest not thou have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy upon thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Now, Jesus doesn't lie. What he said here is an automatic license for the devil to torment you if you don't forgive. The devil knows when he has this right. He knows when you're not forgiven. And he torments you, and his demons will continue to torment you until you give it up. And this is necessary because you can't be saved with unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. That's the very foundation of salvation. So, the key to take away demons' rights over you is to forgive and to believe that Jesus delivered you from the demons themselves at the cross. And we know Colossians 1 and 13 says, "Who delivered us," it's already been done, "who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." You know, if you will be sure to forgive everyone and exercise your faith towards God's promises, you'll be a new person who is free to love and to associate with good people. Why do I say that? Well, because so many of these people don't associate with good people. They don't feel comfortable associating with good people. They convict them. You may believe, as some do, that all of your sins are cast into the depths of the sea, like Micah 7 tells us, and that they won't ever be remembered again. And I've heard that taught. And of course it's true as long as you walk with the Lord. But when a person does not forgive, their past sins are remembered. That means the Lord can dredge them back up. They're remembered. And they're judged for these. You know, Ezekiel 21 and 24 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered." You know, we have a covering, and the covering is the blood of Jesus Christ, the propitiation, right? But he says, you're uncovered. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, "If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment." So, He said that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand, meaning, of course, you'll be chastened for your sins. And Matthew 6 and 12 says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation. See, because if you don't forgive, you will be brought into temptation. But deliver us from evil. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, it's best to learn to forgive immediately. Don't drag it around for a few days. Immediately, you know, forgive. And I pray that you will forgive whatever you believe anybody has done to you. In some cases, it's just plain deception. But that you will believe what the Word of God has to say, and that you will repent, and that you will forgive whatever anybody's done to you. And so that the tormentors don't have any authority to hold you in bondage ever again. Now, you can be delivered right where you are. You know, it's good if you have some friends around you, some spirit-filled friends, but you can be delivered right where you are. And I know the elder brethren that are with me today, they'll agree with me in a prayer today for you. First of all, if you have suffered from these spirits, God loves you and He wants you to be free to follow Him and not these demons. So pray with me, will you? You can add the names of the people, whoever the names are, but just go to the Father and tell Him that you will to forgive so-and-so or whoever. And say, Father, I ask you to take the emotions of unforgiveness and bitterness from my heart. You know, you can make the willful decision, I forgive, but the Lord has to take that from your heart, right? And Father, I ask you to forgive and to bless them, to know you in all your fullness, and restore them from any damage that I may have done to them. Pray for them. If you pray for them, God will take that out of your heart. Okay? Now, if you've forgiven these people, and I suggest you pray for them, that's a good way to forgive them. You need to take the authority that's given to you by Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 17, these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Many people ask me, well, can you cast demons out of yourself? Yes, but it's always good to have others around you agreeing with you and exercising faith and discernment if they discern something that you don't discern, right? People looking from the outside in have discernment that you may not have, right? If possible, like I said, it's good to have other spirit-filled believers who have discernment around you, praying with you and agreeing with you and exercising discernment of other spirits. And then just command the spirits of rejection and fear of rejection and frustration and hopelessness and depression and anger and retaliation and even suicide. Command them to leave in Jesus' name. You have authority. Jesus said, in my name, they will cast out demons. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, today we take your authority, Lord, and we command these demons to loose these brethren that have been held in bondage. We command them to loose them in Jesus' name. You gave us authority over all the power of the devil, and we're taking it now. Loose our brethren in the name of Jesus. Loose those who are agreeing with us and those who have forgiven. Loose them in Jesus' name, Satan. Now, agree with me, according to the Bible, that this thing is done. Matthew 18 and 19 says, again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. And Mark 11 and 23 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. So when you speak it, you believe it comes to pass, you will have it. When you speak to a demon and you know the Lord Jesus has given you authority over these demons, they have to obey you. That is, if you've forgiven, right? And verse 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Praise the Lord. You did receive this. You received this at the cross. You are delivered out of the power of darkness at the cross. It is done. You don't have to talk God into it. It's already done. Now, the next best thing you need to do is, of course, to confess your deliverance before men. You know, Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Oh, praise the Lord. And Matthew 10:32 says, every one therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So, you know what? Faith without works is dead. You believe that God has given you the deliverance at the cross, you need to go forth and speak it and give thanks to God for it. Tell people about it. And, of course, you know, in order to relieve their heart, tell them you're sorry for the way you treated them. And that'll do great good for them, because many of them may have things against you that is your fault. And so ask them to forgive you. It's not necessary that you are claiming guilt when you ask someone to forgive you. They need to forgive you. So you do it because they need to forgive you, right? Ask them to forgive you. And I tell you, you'll have a new life with Jesus. You'll be delivered of the bondage of these demon spirits that have tormented you. And you don't have to go the rest of your life in bondage to these things. They have ruined your life. They've ruined the life of people around you. Many people are hurt because of the way you've treated them. And you thought you were justified in the way you treated them. That's the way these demons are. They make you feel like you're justified in what you do to other people, and the grudges that you hold against them, and stiff-arming them, and so on and so forth. They make you feel justified. And you know what the Bible says, that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So now concentrate on what the Bible says so that you can be delivered. Don't cast down vain imaginations, and everything that these spirits speak to you, cast it down in the name of Jesus, and accept the deliverance that the Lord has given unto you, right? And walk in the steps of Jesus as his disciples. Amen? Father, we thank you for a mighty miracle of reaching out and touching our brethren, Lord, that are in bondage to these things, Lord. It pains us to see them in pain, Lord, but they haven't understood until now. We're thanking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for giving grace and also delivering them from any kind of crutch, any false comfort like drugs or alcohol or sex in some cases, or food or whatever. You know, some people comfort themselves in all kinds of things, or buying things or whatever. Lord, take away these idolatrous things, Lord. You are the Savior. Nothing should comfort us but you. We have been delivered. And Lord, we're able to comfort others wherewith the comfort that we have been comforted with. And Lord, I understand these things because I've been through it myself. And I understand the comfort that you give and the deliverance that you give. Lord, I pray that you will make all of our brethren out there who are suffering under this understand and know and feel this comfort and be able to turn and give this comfort to others, now that they understand how a person can be delivered. And it's so simple, Lord. It's been there all along. But some people will go through their whole life, even as Christians, and not do these things, these simple steps, Lord. I ask you to reveal to them, the people around us, Lord. We pray for them. We pray that you will prick their conscience, that you will show them that they're being disobedient and it's keeping them in bondage. They're not forgiving. Or they're being disobedient to the rules of relationships between people, and they're not forgiving. They're being disobedient to Matthew 18 and 15 by going to a brother first instead of criticizing him behind his back. Or they're being disobedient to your command to receive not an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. They receive in their mind accusations against the brethren or against elders. They're disobedient. They're in bondage because they're disobedient, and yet they feel justified to criticize others. Lord, I ask you to convict all who are doing this. Grant repentance to all who are doing this. And Lord, let them feel your grace, your mercy, Lord. Let them appreciate you so much, Lord, because of the salvation that you have given unto them, Lord. And let them see how big your salvation is, Father. You're a mighty God, and you love and you deliver your people. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for those that are joining us today that are exercising their faith towards you, Lord. We thank you for giving them a forgiving heart and turning them away from rejection and fear of rejection and depression and all these things that have tormented them. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, we're going to put an article on the site. I think it's going to be named Deliverance from Rejection and Its Fear. And you'll be able to give this to some people. Of course, they might be hurt. That's their initial feelings are until they, and sometimes understand what you're doing, they feel like they want to feel and appear normal. And when you give them something to help them, sometimes there is an initial feeling of rejection and pain that they go through. But if you can get them to sit down and think about this and understand the good news, they can live through the pain in order to get the deliverance. Praise God. Well, I have something that I think is very important to share with you today. One of the biggest plagues in Christianity is people who received rejection spirits through their relationship with their earthly parents and or inherited them through the bloodline, and who now relate to their heavenly father or spiritual fathers in the faith in the same way because of these deceiving spirits. And I know that this is also what spawned the faction movement. So this revelation, which was sent to us by an anonymous person, whom I know, we called it Rejection Lied, Father Loves Me. And Anonymous said, I hope this will help the saints not to fall into the same traps of Satan. It was sure an eye-opener for me, though. I wasn't realizing that the thoughts and feelings I was having were sinful and were grieving my Heavenly Father. Most people don't recognize that feelings of unworthiness and self-pity or self-loathing, which are all side effects of rejection, are sin and contribute to fear, doubt, and unbelief. Oh, and if you've got doubt and unbelief and fear, you are not going to be receiving the benefits that the Father has for you. That's why it's so important that we learn to do spiritual warfare and cast down vain thoughts and imaginations that are against the Word of God, as we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Anonymous goes on to say, they create a huge gulf between us and the saving power and deliverance of Jesus and keep us from receiving the gifts of God. This is so true, so true. I feel there are two manifestations of rejection. There may be more than two, but I know that rejection is the root demon, and that it branches off in different directions sometimes. And what is said here is certainly correct, that there are these two. She said one is that people lash out at others and defend themselves, and the other is that people turn inward on themselves in the form of self-loathing and unworthiness. Well, if you're one of these people, we have authority, if you recognize this, to cast these spirits out. And we do. We cast these spirits and their thoughts down from all who agree with the good news that Jesus bore this curse on the cross. So, saints, you believe it, you receive it. You reach out and take the gift from God. It's not important how it's stated or how you receive it. It's just your gift from heaven. And Anonymous went on to say, I believe these issues go along with unforgiveness, even of oneself. I think there may be others besides me who have forgiven everyone except themselves. Oh, there are many. There are many. Unforgiveness of oneself or of Father God or even of spiritual fathers causes many much grief and gives the devil authority over us. Absolutely. Saints, I know if you're one of them, you know exactly what we're talking about. Don't let pride, don't let unforgiveness, don't let criticism stop you or separate you from God and His ministers. And don't let it stop you from being all you can be in the Lord. You know, cast down pride. Confess your sins one to another. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And your life will be totally different without that spirit of rejection, fear of rejection, criticism, pride, those things that come from it. Father has shown me in this dream that now it is time to forgive myself. I believe Father has shown me that this has been a main block to overcoming and receiving healing for trials and temptations. Yes, and I pray that the Father will give you or show you love and grace and forgiveness to all who have this need today. You know, Father, we just ask you to have mercy upon those who are suffering from this plague, this curse, Lord, that you would show your love and your grace to these people. In Jesus' name. Anonymous said, there may be other things, but Father is being faithful to reveal these things to me, and I know He loves me in my head, but I desire to know it in my heart also. And this is where that hindrance of rejection is in your heart, in your thoughts. And we pray that all who hear these words and have a need to feel the love of the Father, that they will receive this today in Jesus' name. And, of course, we're going to post this revelation with a bunch of links below it that will help anybody that needs help in this direction. Anonymous says, it is His will that I be perfect in health, and I know He will be with me every step of the way, and that I will have a great testimony at the end. Well, I agree. In the name of Jesus Christ, I agree. I dreamed that I was in a white surveillance van parked outside of the home of an old Middle Eastern man who was a doctor. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And Anonymous believes that this represents Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Amen. This is surely Jesus Christ who repairs broken lives and bodies, right? His home was my childhood home. Well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? But no, many people's hurts start in their childhood. But our healer was there, and He knows of these hurts. And He is meeting those needs today.
I remember that this house faced the east, which is, of course, the coming of the sun in our lives, S-O-N. Ephesians 2:19 through 22 says, "So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Not your earthly household, the household of God, who is a perfect Father, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. By the way, this is something that is not possible with the spirit of rejection. It's impossible to be one with the body of Christ. It's impossible to be one with a wife or a husband who has a spirit of rejection. They are afraid to get close to other people. There is a companion spirit called the fear of rejection that won't let them get close to people, or they won't let people get close to them because of this fear. 22 goes on to say, "In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." I was watching the doctor closely through a pair of very powerful binoculars. I watched every move he made and studied all of his activities and his comings and goings. He was very predictable and seemed like a nice, gentle man. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever." When you study the Jesus of the Gospel, saints, that's him, right? The one who went about meeting people's needs and rebuking their oppressors, etc., etc. I was studying him from afar because I was fearful of him and concerned about his activities. Anonymous said, "This represents trying to understand the Father through natural senses and finite understanding, and assigning our own human nature and qualities to our Heavenly Father. Trying to make Him into our image and trying to understand His ways through a human perspective. And this causes us to be fearful of God in the wrong kind of way. We cannot understand God through our own intellect. We need the Holy Spirit to understand anything about God and His ways." Yes, because the Holy Spirit is the one who knows God, and He's the one who reveals God. God's foreordained plan is to transform us, starting at our beginning, which is the dirt, right? And He sows the seed in that dirt. That natural man, that natural life is the dirt. It is corrupt. It was inherited from our parents. But our natural life, which is the dirt, cannot be compared with the eternal seed of the sons of God that's sowed in the dirt. All sons and daughters of God must be saved from sin so that they know and understand grace and God's unmerited favor. God didn't choose perfect people. He chose people that needed to be saved in order that they would understand grace, unmerited favor. They would understand mercy, right? Because they would not deserve it. And they would know that. It's fertile ground for a seed of the Son of God, but you must reject the old man who is a product of these demons that are passed on down from generation to generation or inherited through your relationship with your parents. Either way, you have to reject that and those thoughts too, because this is a lying spirit. Anonymous said, "Jesus said, 'He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.' Well, that's right. Jesus' giving heart, his kindness and graciousness to men, exhibited in the Gospels, is an example of our Heavenly Father's love for us. And he cries out to us, much like Isaiah 55:6-9 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Remember the story of the prodigal son, right? The father's arms were wide open, waiting for his trashed-up son to come home. And he met him with love, right? Verse 8 goes on to say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." God didn't inherit the ways of men. He didn't inherit rejection. He doesn't have that. Men have that, and their fear of rejection. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Amen. He is high, he is holy, he is righteous. Don't forget it. Don't attribute evil to God. Don't attribute sin or the sin nature that you receive from your parents to God. He is a perfect father. And no, he's not a mother. There's a lot of goofiness going on out there. But anyway, John 14:8-10. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, Show us the Father?" Well, men would love to know the nature of the Father, and Jesus is saying, "Look at me. I'm his offspring. Look at me, and you'll know the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works." So what we see when we read about Jesus' kindness and his love is we see the Father manifested through the Son. Anonymous went on to say, "One day when this kind doctor went out on an errand, I decided to go inside his house and find out what was inside and what he was doing in there. I thought he might be doing something to hurt the children." This represents viewing God as an angry and punishing father. Many, like myself, who have had this type of earthly father, may unconsciously project that experience onto our Heavenly Father. Yes, or spiritual fathers. It happens. I know the Lord has spoken to me and told me the reason that a person with rejection couldn't have a relationship with me is because they saw me as their Heavenly Father. That demon in them was speaking to them that I was just like their earthly father. So I know exactly what Anonymous's revelation here is about. And besides that, I inherited, through the bloodline and through relationship to, a spirit of rejection concerning my earthly father. And this unconsciously projecting that rejection experience onto our Heavenly Father is caused by a spirit of rejection that will keep you from an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father, and from being able to receive all the benefits that he has for you. Luke 11:9-13 says, And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It sounds like our Father has a special relationship with us to meet our needs, no matter what they are. The fact that He loves us so much that He would send Jesus to sacrifice His life to meet all of our spiritual and physical needs should say something to us. But these deceiving spirits are continually speaking in a person's mind thoughts that are not his thoughts, as he said. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, unless, of course, you believe that you're unworthy and that God wouldn't do this for you. You listen to those lying spirits, right? Every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. How gracious, how undeserving we are of such things, right? And of which of you that is a father shall his son ask a loaf, and he give him a stone, or a fish, and he give for a fish, give him a serpent. He for a fish, give him a serpent. Well, some people think that about God, you know. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He's not going to give something that is evil or threatening to his child. We ask him for good things, that's what he's going to give us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask. Ask for His Holy Spirit. Not these evil spirits that have been inherited through the natural bloodline. Ask. Be filled with His Holy Spirit. Some people can't receive the Holy Spirit because they feel that they are unworthy. Well, in a way, that's true, but we're counted as worthy through our faith. And really, that's just a moot point, because if the Lord said it, He will do it. Anonymous said, when I went inside, I saw that he had a bunch of servants. And in parentheses, she has angels. And I add, too, that earthly ministers, too, are so. Servants just mean messengers, right? Or angels, excuse me, just means messengers, right? Who were preparing many gift packages out of the gifts that the doctor had made for the children. So our doctor, our physician, our great physician, actually physician is a bad word, and so is doctor, but the Lord is trying to relate to us to something that we know in this world, right? The truth is, the word is healer, iatros, healer. The Lord is a healer. But the Lord wants you to see this parable of a doctor who wants to give gifts to his children. A healer who wants to give gifts to his children. They were wrapping them in clear cellophane wrapping and getting them ready for delivery. And we know from Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, but which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, these are the sons and daughters of God that these ministering spirits were created to serve, to bless, to deliver. Amen? He must love us very much. These gifts represent salvation through Jesus and the promises of Father in His Word to us. Romans 11, 28 through 32 says, as touching the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, when God's people have even gone astray from Him, they are beloved for the Father's sake. When the father in the parable of the prodigal son, when his son returned, he loved him just as much. He was much more relieved that he was now safe, but he loved him just as much because he was his son, right? God has many sons and daughters out there doing their own thing. They're away from Him into the curse, not realizing that He already delivered them from all this, right? Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are not repented of. For as ye in time past were disobedient to God, but now have obtained mercy by their disobedience, even so have these also now been disobedient, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. Amen. So God has, from among the Jews and among the Gentiles, children of His that will ultimately bear fruit. Amen. For God has shut up all unto disobedience that He might have mercy upon all. What does this mean? Well, it means that God only saves sinners because they understand mercy and grace. They don't deserve what they're receiving, yet they're receiving it from a merciful God. He wants to prove His love and His mercy and His grace. And God gives these gifts in manifold ways to bestow upon the needy. In other words, He makes us spiritual fathers too. You know, in Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul said, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teacheth to his teaching, or he that exhorteth to his exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Well, amen. The gifts were all over the house, on tables and along the floors next to the walls. I was surprised at all these wonderful gifts that he had prepared, and then I felt ashamed. I had thought that he meant to do harm to the children and that I didn't trust him. Then I realized that so many of these gifts had been sitting in their places for a long time because many of the children felt the same way towards the doctor that I had felt. And I thought to myself, if only they could see these gifts. Well, think about that, saints. God has so many things to give you. He's made so many awesome promises. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. He's made tremendous promises to give you His gifts. Not only of the ministry gifts, but the gifts of His life and His love to you. If only they could see these gifts. They've been sitting there waiting for so long because people felt the same way that Anonymous felt here towards the doctor, that he was a hard person. Then my husband, and I believe that this represents Jesus, came up behind me and encouraged me to go lay down and rest on the large king-size bed that was in the middle of the living room. I guess that represents the rest. Jesus wants us to enter into the rest, which is what? According to Paul in Hebrews, it's believing the promises. You don't have a problem. The Lord has supplied all of your needs through His promises. We just need to believe, right? And I was still fearful of the doctor because, even though I saw all the wonderful gifts that he had prepared for the children, I felt that he didn't intend any of those gifts for me. And I thought he would be angry at me for intruding into his house and doubting his person. And they said, this is representative of a lying spirit of rejection. If we listen to these lies, it will keep us from receiving all of the gifts that the Father has intended us to have. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. The word of the promise is useless to many people because they don't think it's for them. It's always for someone else. They think that's who God will give it to, someone else. But no, it's your fault because you don't believe him, because you have believed a lying spirit. You're not casting down that imaginations that are against the knowledge of God. So I decided to lay on my right side. Get this, underneath the bed, not on the bed of rest, but underneath the bed. My husband was disappointed and didn't agree with this, but he loved me so much that he still went and laid next to me under the bed with his arm around me to bring comfort and peace to me. Isn't that just like Jesus? Well, many are living beneath their privilege and relationship with Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God through him. He has provided all things for us, including his love, his mercy, and his grace. Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Does this mean these things when they come, if they come, does this mean that the Lord does not love us? No. He says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall any of these things? No. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. I can hear somebody saying, you see there? We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, we endure the death of the old man of self so that we might be with God, so that we might think as he thinks and live as he lives. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from his love. The underneath of the bed was very high up so that I could sit up underneath it, and there was a blue transparent bed skirt that I could see the front door and the rest of the living room through. In other words, I believe that the place of rest on the top of the bed is high up in heavenly places. Laying underneath represents being overcome by our carnal mind, Anonymous says. Romans 8:6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. If what you're thinking is not giving you life and peace, it's the mind of the flesh. If what you're thinking robs you of the benefits of the kingdom that you see other people around you enjoying, It's probably a spirit of rejection and fear of rejection, feelings of unworthiness, and so on and so forth, self-hatred, etc., etc. I then saw the doctor come in through the front door. I watched his every move while laying under the bed through the transparent bed skirt. My husband gently said to me, "Let's get out from under here. It's okay. It's safe." So I came out from under the bed, but I couldn't face the doctor. He knew what my thoughts were and saw the brokenness of my being. He knew I felt unworthy of his gifts and his love, and this saddened him. He longed for me to come to him and receive his love with open arms. Hebrews 3:17 says, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Anonymous says, "Fear, doubt, and unbelief are sin, and it grieves the Father. Spirits of rejection, self-loathing, self-pity, and unworthiness hide very well in religion and in those who are under the law and self-works. We must not forget that it is the sacrifice of our Savior and the grace of the Father that we are counted worthy and reckoned as righteous." Well, amen. This is what we must believe for deliverance. We must believe the gospel. The Lord took everything through the reconciliation. He took everything negative about what we received through the bloodline, the natural bloodline. He took it upon himself, and he gave us his blood, his righteous blood, his pure blood. No sin in his blood. No demons in his blood. Right? He made reconciliation, which means an exchange of his life for ours. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. We no longer have to submit to spirits of rejection. I went out and sat on the front porch on the first step. I was feeling hopeless when suddenly I saw the doctor's hand place a love letter to my right on the step next to me. She said, "The Word of God is His love letter to us and all His promises in it. This is always the first step to victory over the enemy and his lies." Well, amen. Let your be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to think right. Folks, we come to Him with a virus in our computer program, and it needs to be cleansed, right? We read the Word of God. We read it day and night. We put His words before our mind. We let them be on our tongue so that we can have what He has. She said, "I looked at it. It was in a white business envelope with my name written on it, with fancy lettering like calligraphy. I then looked away from it as tears rolled down my face and a pain went through my heart. I was afraid to read it and afraid to accept His love. Then the evil voice of rejection told me that if I opened it, there would be nothing but rebukes and words of rejection and condemnation. Self-pity said that I didn't need any more of that in my life. And self-loathing said, 'How could you even think that He could love you?' All the while, my spirit man inside knew how special I was to the doctor. But the lies of the enemy were casting me down, discouraging me, and making me feel unworthy. And, I might say, so that they would have no faith towards God and miss out on all of His benefits, as the demons plotted to do." Amen. I wanted to leave the letter there, unopened, and slide down a yellow slide that appeared now in front of me off of the porch. A yellow slide. You reckon that has anything to do with fearfulness or being chicken? As we say, yeah, too afraid to accept this gift. That's called the fear of rejection. My husband appeared behind me and again told me, please, don't go. Open the letter. It's a love letter just for you. He wrote it just for you. Can't you see how much he loves you? You are so special to him. I could see past my husband and through the wall of the house that the doctor was sad that I was ignoring his special letter that he had written just for me. I wanted to believe so much that I was special to him, but at the same time, I was afraid to let myself believe it because I was afraid that my trust in him would be betrayed. That's fear of rejection, again. And that eventually he would turn on me in a punishing way. That's fear of rejection, fear of failure, etc., etc. It's an evil spirit that plagues the people of God. And when I woke up, I knew that I was making Father sad because I wasn't trusting him for his gift of healing and deliverance from the enemy, and that I needed to get back into his word to renew my mind daily and remind myself of his love for me. Amen. Get into his love letter. Let it get down in your heart and heal you of all those wounds that were put there by demon spirits. No, don't blame the other person. They just are suffering probably the same things from their parents on down. They were victims too. Pity them. Don't be angry or unforgiving towards anyone who unknowingly or being incapable of loving because of these spirits. Ephesians 6:16-17 says, withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what a helmet is for, right? It's to protect your mind, right? The helmet of God's salvation. He saved you from the very things that are being spoken in your mind by these evil spirits. And use your sword of the Spirit. They cannot resist the sword of the Spirit. Use it on them. No. Thus saith the Lord. And you stick them with that sword, the Word of God, right? I asked the Father for a verse or a text through faith at random for this dream, and he couldn't have picked a better love letter. My finger landed on Psalm 40:11, but here it is in context. Psalm 40:1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Let it be, Lord. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be set in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. But so many are not partaking of the benefits of all of God's good desires for us. Sacrifice and offering thou hast no delight in. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required, in the natural, that is. Then said I, Lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's what makes us delight to do his will. God writes his law upon our heart when we read the word of God. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Amen. It's good news, saints. That's what it's called, the good news. Amen. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great assembly. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. That is just like the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart hath failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Innumerable demon spirits seek to destroy your soul. All they have to do is write their words upon your heart, your mind, your thoughts, instead of you writing God's word upon your mind and your thoughts. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Believe God. Don't believe the demons. We inherited some of these from our parents, or we received them through relationships and things that we went through, you know. Either way, the Lord loves us, and he wants to save us from all of these things. We have to believe his word. We have to put his word into our mind enough so that it overcomes those things that we've inherited that are in there, right? Let them be turned backward and brought to dishonor that delight in my hurt. Yes, amen. Let them be desolate by reason of their shame that say unto me, Aha! Aha! Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Yea, amen, amen. God loves you, saints. You didn't come to the Father on your own. He chose you and caused you to approach unto him, the Bible says. He drew you with his love. I'm going to put some other links on this revelation, and Brad will post them, and I hope you'll pay attention to all these if you've ever had any dose of this rejection or fear of rejection or unworthiness or whatever, any of these things. And one of them is a letter to a prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son, right? He went out into the world and basically disgraced his father. But his father was ready to receive him when he came back, repented, and grieved at his actions. Another is called Freedom of Forgiveness. How that a person whose parents had rejection, and they did too, how that when they forgave, the Spirit's power in their family was broken. And deliverance from rejection and its fear, which is my own experiences with rejection and explanations of a couple of branches of rejection and how to be delivered from it by faith in God. It's very simple, but it's too good to be true to some people. However, some have read this and obeyed and acted in faith and been delivered. Again, let me say this. If you've been delivered of rejection and its fear, and you have unforgiveness towards other people, it will come back. You must forgive everybody. If you refuse to do that, you are not forgiven. If you are not forgiven, the curse is on you. You're not forgiven for your past sins, therefore you cannot be cleansed for your past sins. You must forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. People try to twist this, but it's just simply not twistable. And another one article we're going to put here is seeing others through eyes of faith. That is, we are to see other people through our faith for them. That is, we're supposed to exercise faith for others just like we exercise faith for ourselves. And in doing this, our mind and our thoughts and our emotions change towards these people. When we pray, Jesus said, when you pray, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. When you pray for people that you may have had past resentment for or bitterness for, when you pray for them and you're believing for them, and you know that this is the only way that they have of ever getting delivered of these spirits that are taking advantage of them, when you're doing this, you're changing your mind towards them. So pray and believe for them. Believe for the salvation that God gave to you freely, even though you were unworthy. That salvation that He gave to you, He will give to them, as unworthy as they are. Right? Man, God is so good. Father, we thank You. We pray, Lord, that You will deliver Your people who are listening, who so desire to be free from these demonic bondages. Father, they know that this has ruined their relationship with other people, ruined their relationship with You, ruined their relationship with ministers of the gospel who love them. They know that these things have happened, Lord, and I ask You, Father, to send forth Your grace and Your mercy and grant repentance and send Your delivering power to them. We know, Lord, that because of what Jesus did at the cross, that we were already delivered from the power of darkness, who delivered us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He delivered us. It is done. We are to accept it, speak it, thank God for it, praise Him for it. It is done. You've been freed, saints. He made you free from sin. Romans chapter 6. I think He said that about three times there. He made you free from sin. He nailed your sin upon that cross. That is the thing that demons take advantage of, is the sin nature. But they have nothing if you give it up to the cross. He nailed it on the cross. He gave you His life at the cross. So, Father, we are thanking You for moving mightily in the hearts and minds of the saints out there and touching them and meeting their needs. And sending them to people who can agree in faith with them that they are delivered and speak the words of faith over them if necessary. Or go to our page on the site called Deliverance from Rejection and Its Fear and pray those prayers and agree with them. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you do a mighty work in delivering your people out of bondage to Satan so they may be free. Many husbands and wives are estranged from one another because of spirits of rejection. Nobody with a spirit of rejection can be one with anyone else. It's just not possible. They usually get resentment. They hear things that are not true. They believe things that are not true. They don't exercise faith for their mate or their mother or their father or their children. There will be a separation of children from the parents who have rejection. This is a destroyer of families. It is a faction all in itself, even though there is another spirit called faction that obviously quite often joins with rejection to destroy people's lives. So, Father, we're thanking you for the grace that we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.